It's been a few days now since the NBA draft, since the Pistons selected Jaden Ivey and Jalen Duren in the first round. How you guys feeling? You guys still hyped up? Let's talk a little bit more about it in today's episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. Per usual, I'm your host, Kuka Hill. You can find me over on Twitter, at Kuka Hill. I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel, at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. I'd really appreciate it. It's the best way to support the podcast. And over just the weekend between the night of the draft and the following day, we crossed over our goal of 3,000 subscribers quite easily. I believe we're sitting at 3,200 subscribers. We gained like over 400 subscribers in just the last few days. You guys are amazing. You guys are doing a great job. Man, we're going to go ahead and set the goal now at 5,000 subscribers. Let's go ahead and try to hit that by, let's say, November or October. Let's see, October. Let's try to get the 5,000 subscribers. I'd really appreciate it at the Locked On Pistons YouTube channel. But let's get back and talk about some Pistons, man. It's been a few days since the draft. Are you guys all still excited? Are you guys all still feeling it? I know I'm still pretty hyped. There's a lot of things to look forward to now with the Pistons, especially with this young core, man. I just wanted to give a little bit of a recap of the draft. I know we already had a podcast right after the draft, but I feel like the draft was just so electric with what transpired in the first round with the Detroit Pistons. A lot of places I'm seeing, like if you go on NBA.com, you read some articles from Bleacher Report. You see some places that are like ranking who did the best in the NBA draft. And a lot of them have the Detroit Pistons at the very top. And like I said, I know we already did a recap of it last week, the first episode on Friday, after the draft is on Thursday. But I just want to talk about it a little bit more because Torrey really did an excellent job. And I saw some people talking about how, you know, he got Cade last year and now he did an amazing job this year. Cade was obviously the right pick. Cade's going to be a franchise player. But Cade was more luck than anything. Like, it would have said more if he didn't take Cade. Like, Cade was the consensus pick. I feel like everyone knew it should have been Cade. It would have been bigger noise if he did not select Cade. So while, yes, he was the one who drafted Cade, I feel like that's a little bit more of like a gimme. Like, okay, anybody would have drafted Cade Cunningham. This draft, though, I feel like he was a really just a flat-out elite draft process from literally months ago all the way to now. There's on so many fronts. It was just an elite draft process by Troy Weaver. And I've been one of those guys that I've told you guys that I'm not going to just, you know, put blind trust into Troy Weaver. He's not Greg Popovich or something, Bill Belichick or something. He hasn't been around for decades showing that he's just elite at everything, has championships to back. Like, he's not like that yet. So I'm not going to just put blind trust in him. But this draft definitely earned him so many brownie points with me just because of everything that went down with this. So let's try to like break it down one by one. And then we'll talk about some free agent stuff later on in the podcast. But I just want to break this down one by one again. So when I say going back months ago, I've kind of hinted on the podcast about this. And this is what I believe, that Troy Weaver's guy all along was Jaden Ivey. Yes, did they like Keegan Murray? Yes, they probably liked Keegan Murray. It's not like that they didn't. I'm not saying that was false that they liked him, but I feel like their guy all along was Jaden Ivey. If they had the selection between Keegan Murray and Jaden Ivey, they would be taking Jaden Ivey. With the Kings right in front of the Pistons, rumors were going on from the get-go, and this is where the Kings messed up. I've said this from the get-go. I'll continue saying I don't care if this gets Kings fans mad. This is just how I feel. From the get-go, the Kings messed up because they let everybody know that they wanted Keegan Murray. So as soon as that happened, the Pistons, I felt like, gained some leverage. Because with them selecting right behind the Kings' plan was to trade back to maybe Indiana at 6 or maybe a team at 7 or 8 and then take Keegan Murray around there. Probably most likely 6, which is who they had the most talks with the Indiana, it sounds like. But now, as you got closer to the draft, you couldn't do that if you were the Kings because all the rumors were saying that the Pistons really liked Keegan Murray now. And I feel like that was a bit of a smokescreen to try to put pressure on the Kings of, listen, you better not trade out of this 4 spot and let someone else get Jaden Ivey because you will not be getting Keegan Murray if you fall back. We will be taking him. So now the Kings felt that pressure to get Keegan Murray at 4, and now the Pistons are able to get their guy. People may refute that. I will not refute that. That's what I think happened. That's why I think Troy Reaver did. I think Troy Reaver played an excellent game of chicken there, and I think he won. So that's brownie point number one. Brownie point number two was simply selecting Jaden Ivey over Benedict Mather and some of these other guys. I think Jaden Ivey, has the highest potential, was the most talented guy there. Could some of these guys behind him turn out to be better? Yeah, it's the draft. The draft's a crapshoot. Guys get drafted later, could turn into superstars. Who knows? But as a prospect, Jaden Ivey's a better prospect than all these other guys. He's the best talent there. And that was a great pick by him. So that's the second brownie point. The third brownie point, which is really like, it's not just a singular brownie point. It's like just a plethora of them, is what he did to get Jalen Duren at 13. If you guys remember, over the last week and a half or so, we had been talking about trade talks with the Charlotte Hornets on the podcast. And we talked about taking on Gordon Hayward's contract for 13. And when I say 13, I mean the 13th pick with Charlotte. Charlotte was going to attach that pick to Gordon Hayward because of his contract to move him so they could try to get Miles Bridges and have enough money to sign Miles Bridges, what the reports were saying. So it said the Pistons were interested in doing that, and they said the Pistons were interested in Gordon Hayward. And I had told you guys for a few days that they really liked Jalen Duren and wanted to get back into the first round to get him. Now, from all along, I thought that's how they were going to have to do it. I thought they were going to have to take on Gordon Hayward's contract, that $30 million contract this year and next season, in order to get 13. And then you get the update to your phone. You get the notification from Shams and Woj. And while it was conflicting at first, eventually you got down to it that the Pistons were the one acquiring Jalen Duren at the 13th pick. So now you sit there and you're sitting there for a minute. You're like, okay, how's it happening? Obviously, they must have taken on Gordon Hayward's contract. They must have, sent something back to the Hornets or something. Something like that had to have happened. And then you're sitting there, you're waiting, and we haven't gotten it for a while because everyone went quiet for some reason. It was the most frustrating thing ever. Everyone went quiet. And then you see, when you look at your phone, you see a few minutes later that, no, it's not Gordon Hayward's $30 million contract. It's not even a long-term contract. It's not a two-year contract. It's not a three-year contract. It's not even a $10 million contract. It's a $9 million expiring contract for 13th pick. I have no clue how Troy Reaver pulled that off. We're talking about a $21 million difference in year one from $9 million to $30 million with Gordon Hayward. And in the second year, to $30 million to $0 million with Kemba Walker's contract, which is who they traded for. Kemba Walker's expiring $9 million contract. I have zero clue how Troy Reaver was able to pull that off. And essentially, he turned Jeremy Grant into a second pick swap, a future second round pick, $9 million expiring contract, so he created $11 million in cap space, plus the 13th pick in Jalen Duren for Jeremy Grant. It was a long-winded type of way of getting there, but it doesn't matter. He ended up getting there, and it was that by far, I think that might have been his best move that Troy Reaver has ever done with the Pistons. I'm not going to lie. I think that might have been his best move easily. Because of everything that everyone thought you were going to have to take on Gordon Hayward's contract. Everyone was mad about what he got for Jeremy Grant. Not only did he end up creating cap space, not only did he end up getting, now while the second round picks, you can talk about the value of them, their value nonetheless, their assets. He got some kind of future asset, created cap space, and got his guy who's at the top of his draft board at 13 for Jeremy Grant without having to take on big salary back. Best move he's done. Some people will say, maybe Sadiq Bey. And while Sadiq Bey was a fine pick, we can argue about the value that he had to give up to get Sadiq Bey, if that really made sense at the time. He ended up giving up Luke Kennard and 4 second-round picks just to get Sadiq Bey. That, while Sadiq Bey, again, is the right pick, value-wise, asset-wise, that it didn't match up at the time. And you could still probably question whether he needed to do that to get Sadiq Bey. This right here was a straight-up robbery, in my opinion. I don't know how he pulled that off. And it was just a home run of a night for the Detroit Pistons to get Jaden Ivey and Jalen Duren in the fashion in which they got them. I feel like it just took elite GMing from Troy Reaver on all fronts to pull this off. Like I said at the beginning, smoke screening for the Kings, letting them know that, hey, we'll take Keegan Murray. If you try to trade back, you better just stay there and take Keegan Murray. I believe that's what happened. They ended up getting their guy, started months ago. Then you get Jaden Ivey, and then somehow you find a way to get 13 without taking on that albatross of a contract from Gordon Hayward. When, by the way, I said Gordon Hayward's a fine player, a good player to have, but he was able to get that for the $9 million expiring contract. It was a great night, a home run of a night by Troy Reaver. His best night, I feel like, as a Detroit Pistons GM. And if anything gave me confidence in Troy Reaver's ability, to build this team right and get them back to where they need to go, it wasn't picking Cade Cunningham. Cade Cunningham was consensus. You would have been a mistake not to pick Cade. It was easy to get Cade. Last draft night, 3 days ago, 4 days ago, that was the dub. That's a dub right there. And Troy River gets a ton of credit for what he did that night. We'll be talking about that probably all offseason because I really am just – I'm going to keep hammering it home. It seriously was just incredible what he did. I'm still in shock 4 days later that he was able to pull that off, how he did it. So, again, just wanted to give credit to Troy Weaver, review that night, and show you guys that I'm still pretty excited about what I had witnessed happen. I did not think I would be that excited after draft night, but here I am. Let me know what you guys think about draft night. If you guys are still excited, what you guys think about Troy Weaver and how he orchestrated draft night and that entire draft process in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at Cookie Hill. When we come back, there's a free agent that went to Michigan State, and rumors are starting to heat up and heat up and heat up as free agency comes closer. We got 4 days to go. Could he join the Detroit Pistons and come back home to Michigan? Find out in the next segment. But first, I have to tell you guys about one of our sponsors, BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your sports betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, including league reviews and news, and this year's NHL playoffs and Major League Baseball. BetOnline is a continued source for all your sport wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. And BetOnline.net remains the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including MMA, boxing, golf. They have all kinds of things. Again, basketball, football, college basketball, all kinds of sports, things you probably wouldn't even think of over at BetOnline.net. So again, head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about their trends and action today. If you head over to the basketball section, you can actually start betting on favorites for next year and who's going to win the championship next year, who will be the worst team in the league next year, lottery odds already, season ahead. You can head over to BetOnline.net and get started with that just a few days after the NBA draft already. The league year just starting. You can already get ahead of that over at BetOnline.net. So again, head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about their trends and action today. BetOnline, where the game starts. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you have not already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. It's the best way to support the podcast. We're now on a new goal, the 5,000 subscribers by October. We have a few months to go. We're sitting at like 3,200 subscribers. Let's try to get there. And if you're listening to us on one of the podcast platforms, Apple, Spotify, go down below, leave a 5-star review. I'd really appreciate it. One of the best ways to support this podcast. Man, we had a lot of fun after draft night, man. We went live. Had so many of you guys joining in the live. I couldn't believe how many people were in there. It was a ton of fun. I had a ton of fun recording the episode right after draft night. You guys showed so much support on that episode. You guys have been showing me so much support over the past few months and really peaked after draft night. And I just want to thank you guys for choosing me to be the guy you guys come to for Piston news, Pistons discussion, insight. I really appreciate it. I feel great, and you guys make me feel amazing. So I really wanted to take a second to thank you guys for all that. But enough of all of that. The rumors are really starting to heat up concerning one of the biggest free agents on the market, and we're not talking about all the other guys who could possibly opt out, like Bradley Beal and James Harden and Kyrie Irving, who are holding us all hostage with this free agency class. One of the guys who is definitely going to be a free agent, and that's Miles Bridges. Miles Bridges went to Michigan State. You guys all know about Miles Bridges. You guys probably heard a rap song or two by him, you feel me? He's a restricted free agent for the Charlotte Hornets. And a few weeks ago, and really not even a few weeks ago, before 4 days ago, heck, even go just go 5 days ago, the Pistons were one of the favorites to go after DeAndre Ayton, center for the Phoenix Suns. And we had talked about DeAndre Ayton all summer for the Detroit Pistons. I told you guys that he's the one guy that I'd feel okay with the Pistons paying close to a max contract and bringing him to the Motor City. And it sounded like that reports reporting towards Detroit was going to have the best chance at getting DeAndre Ayton. It really sounded like it was going to happen. It was getting closer and closer to happening. I was prepping myself. I wasn't coming on the podcast and flat out saying it, but I'm going to tell you guys right now, I was really prepping myself. I had already started digging up work, getting topics written down on my phone to what to talk about when free agency. So I was getting ready. I thought it was going to happen. However, after draft night and the Pistons getting Jalen Duren at 13, While I knew that they liked Jalen Duren and they were going to try to find a way to get back in the first round, I didn't know if it was realistic and didn't know if they were actually able to pull it off. They did in tremendous fashion without giving up a lot. We already talked about that in the first segment. And according to James Edwards, who reported the Pistons after an extremely successful draft night that they didn't know was going to be happening, they've now shifted their focus to potentially not spending all their money on one big fish, but getting a bunch of veteran guys, lower key free agents that we talked about earlier in the offseason, to surround the young core, run it back with those guys, letting them develop, let them mature together and grow together and add on to them again next year, possibly in the draft or in next year's free agency. But now, with the Pistons kind of settling on their big man rotation somewhat, I mean, I guess they could potentially still get DeAndre in, but it sounds like that's kind of went out the window. All the focus has now went to Miles Bridges, who would make more sense roster-wise now. The Pistons have a need at the four spot, three spot, whether you want Sadiq Bey to play the four or if you got Miles Bridges to put him at the four. I feel like either one of those guys you could probably play there. They're both pretty big for their position. I know Sadiq actually played pretty damn well this past season when he was playing at four. Some people actually think he might be better at four. I don't think so. I think that's something he can switch to. I don't know if you want him there permanently. But either way, you could probably run that lineup out there. And, rumors are going crazy. And it starts with Cade Strainer-Ashton, which I know Ashton listens to the podcast and watches the podcast on YouTube. So, Ashton, I'm not trying to screw you over here. I'm not trying to, you know, how should I put it? I'm not trying to, you know, reveal your hand here. But Ashton's been on Twitter losing his mind. He's been losing his mind and basically putting eye emojis out, basically getting Pistons fans losing their minds over the past like 3 days, trying to hint at the Pistons have something coming in free agency, whether that's trade or in free agency, and the entire Pistons community is losing their mind. And he's not stopping either. That's not stopping him. He's been gassing Pistons fans up, and maybe he knows something, but that's what's happening. And he's went out of his way to make it very clear that he wants Miles Bridges to come to Detroit. He's talked about in a tweet that was deleted, saying he can't be fined for tampering because he's not technically on the Pistons. He's not Cade. He can't get fined for that. He's been in Miles Bridges' comments. He's been tweeting at Miles Bridges. And it just starts there. That's not it. Some of you guys may say, well, cool, that doesn't really matter. He's just like us. He's a fan just like us. He may be Cade's trainer, but at the end of the day, he's just a fan like us. Well, you know, it doesn't just stop right there, man. Miles Bridges liked a tweet from Jane Ivey saying basically he's excited to come to Detroit. He liked that tweet. I think it was the What Up Doe 313, and Miles Bridges liked that one. I don't know who it was. I don't know who in the circle of Miles Bridges, one of his close friends, whether that's one of his trainer, one of his family members, one of his close friends or whatever. Someone posted a picture on Instagram I saw, and it was saying basically Charlotte Barrett pay up or we're taking our talents to Detroit or something. Now, obviously, this is not Miles Bridges himself saying that, so you can take it with a grain of salt. People can talk all they want. So, again, it may not mean anything, but that happens. And then just continued rumors just keep happening, man, with Miles Bridges and the Pistons. So do I think that the Pistons will actually end up getting Miles Bridges? No, I don't. I don't think they'll actually pursue Miles Bridges. I'm actually kind of mad right now that there was one other thing that actually happened. I can't remember what it was. It was just another funny thing that went down with the rumors of Miles Bridges to Detroit. But either way, do I think that he'll come to Detroit? No, I don't think so. I don't think the Pistons will actually pay what it costs to get him. I think it's going to cost a near max contract to bring him to Detroit. And based off the reporting from James Edwards of The Athletic that the Pistons have kind of shifted away from the idea of spending all their money on one big fish in free agency and kind of just surrounding the young core with veterans that fit the roster a little bit better. And when you say veterans, it doesn't have to be like 30-year-olds. Just a little bit more experienced guys and let them fill out like the 8, 9, 10 positions in your rotation, maybe the 4 spot in the starting lineup, whether that's from Kelly Olynyk or someone else you acquire. If you believe that reporting, I'm not trying to like say that the reporting, he's making it up or something, but if that reporting is accurate, it just doesn't match up with going after Miles Bridges because that's not what they'd be doing. That means you'd be spending all your money on one big fish. However, that has us have reports from national media and national reporters continuing to say the Pistons and the Pacers are the big suitors for Miles Bridges in free agency. Makes sense roster-wise. Ashton's been tweeting about it nonstop, trying to recruit him. One of Miles Bridges' boys, or whoever it was tweeted that picture out. Miles Bridges liked to tweet about going to Detroit. Like, there's a lot of smoke going on right here, and it could just be a lot of smoke. It also could be something, and maybe we're all just wrong. Maybe they actually do go after Miles Bridges. But as of right now, on the 27th, when I'm recording this, I just don't see it happening. I don't think they want to spend all their money on Miles Bridges. You'd have to be paying near a max contract around $27, $26, $28 million. That's not something I'd like to pay for Miles Bridges. The most I'd go is probably around $22 million for Miles Bridges. I wouldn't go as far as it sounds like he wants. And if you're paying him what I want to pay him, it's likely the Charlotte Hornets match on him. So I just don't see it as a legitimate possibility here. I don't think it makes complete sense from a fan perspective. Watching him play for the Pistons, I think it would be incredibly fun. Having Cade, Jane Ivey, Durin, Bagley, potentially, and Miles Bridges, all these guys having highlight after highlight after highlight. Like, it would be incredibly fun to watch these guys in transition. It would be so much fun. From a fan perspective, I completely get it. From a business standpoint, though, from a team building, from an analytical hat, I just don't know if it makes the complete sense if your route is to, if the reporting from James Edwards is correct, that they want to just surround with veterans, which you guys know I'm supportive of. I want to just run it back with the young guys, like I said in the last episode, and let them kind of grow together and develop another season. If that's the plan, I don't know if it makes sense to spend all your money on Miles Bridges. So as of right now, again, I don't see it happening, but it could, I guess. I don't know. I guess we'll just have to wait and see. Free agency is 4 days away. Maybe it happens. As of right now, though, I don't think it does. I think the Pistons end up spending all their money on free agents that, you know, fill out the rotation, maybe take on a big contract with some picks again, like they did for Kemba. Kemba's not necessarily a big contract. It was just a $9 million contract. But if they can pull off a swindle like that again, but more likely a bigger contract for some picks, I see that happening. I don't see Miles Bridges happening. But again, we'll see what happens in 4 days. Let me know in the comment section down below. Do you guys want Miles Bridges to come to Detroit? Do you want the Pistons to give him big money? Or do you want them to just get veteran pieces, go again with this young core, let them build together, maybe take on a big contract with some picks in next year's draft? Or would you rather the Pistons still potentially go after DeAndre Ayton? Let me know all that in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at Kukiel if you listen to this on the podcast platforms. When we come back, there's another free agent that apparently the Detroit Pistons are interested in going after in free agency, and he happened to play in LA this past season. Who am I talking about? We'll talk about that when we come back from the ad break. But first, I have to tell you guys about one of our sponsors, Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts that you need. Why endure often pointless and seemingly intimidating questioning, like is your Odyssey an LX or an EX, and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand that their warehouse happens to carry. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home or in your pocket by using your phone. Save time and money when you're using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? For example, a Honda Odyssey fuel pump is $353 from a chain store, but only $216 from Rock Auto. Rock Auto is a family business that's been doing it for over 20 years. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every single customer, and they have everything that you could possibly need, from brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even a new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto part needs. So again, go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box, they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts that your car will ever need. rockauto.com. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We're free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you have not already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button on our way to our new goal of 5,000 subscribers. Let's hit it by October. I'd really appreciate it. It's the best way to support the podcast. And continuing with free agency news, we talked about Miles Bridges, but now it sounds like, and this guy's not going to be expensive. This is more of the low-key signs that I was talking about. Excuse me. Here's another guy that it sounds like, and reports say, the Detroit Pistons will be heavily interested in free agency. And this one, it kind of makes sense, but it also doesn't make sense on a certain front. And his name is Malik Monk, who played for the Los Angeles Lakers this past season. Do I think that he would fit offensively for the Detroit Pistons? I do. I think he would actually solve a lot of problems for the Detroit. Actually, let me not say solve as if he's going to be like the answer to everything. But I think he definitely would help in a lot of areas for the Detroit Pistons. This past season, for the Los Angeles Lakers, he ranked in the 59th percentile in spot-up opportunity that ranked in the rating of good. In transition, he was the 74th percentile, rating very good. As a pick-and-roll ball handler, he ranked in the 63rd percentile, which was good. Coming off screens, he ranked in the 73rd percentile, which is very good. Coming off handoff, 53rd percentile, they rate as good. On all jump shots, he has 401 possessions this past season on all jump shots. He ranked in the 80th percentile. Very good. That's outstanding. Around the basket, he had 182 possessions, not including post-ups. He ranked in the 68th percentile, which they rate as very good. Again, that's balancing that along with being able to hit outside shots. That's pretty outstanding. All catch and shoot opportunities, 209 possessions of that, 89th percentile. Again, freaking outstanding. All jump shots off the dribble, 61st percentile, which they rank as good on synergy. Again, if you balance the ability to hit shots off the dribble, be able to hit shots at an elite level on catch and shoots, coming off screens, coming off handoffs, coming off DHOs, all that stuff, while also being able to finish around the rim, you combine all that, that's a pretty damn good offensive player. Like a really damn good offensive player. And Malik Monk is a pretty damn good offensive player. This past season for the Los Angeles Lakers, easily probably was his best season of his career. And actually, not even probably, it easily was. He shot 47% from the field. He shot 40% from deep on 5.8 attempts a game. He shot 56% on all twos, which was a career high. He got to the free throw line 1.5 times. And you probably would like to see him get to the free throw line a little bit more. But overall, and he also had a career high 13.8 points a game. So offensively, as a backup two guard running that second that two guard spot with Killian Hayes in the off the bench in the backcourt, I think he would do a lot of great things offensively for the Detroit Pistons. We've talked about nonstop just how awful the Detroit Pistons were on offense this past season. And I've told you guys multiple times it wasn't just bad apparently to last season; it was bad historically. Let's just read the numbers off again, just real quick. Hammer it down into you guys' head. You guys are going to be able to say these numbers. Someone's going to come up to you and be like, hey, how were the Pistons offensively this past season? And you guys are going to be able to eventually just say, yeah, well, you know, they ranked 27th in this, 29th in that, 30th in that. How do you know all this stuff? Oh, I listen to Lockdown Pistons host Cuckoo Hill all the time, and there you go. But all spot opportunities of Pistons were 27th in the NBA, pick and roll ball handler, 29th in the entire NBA, isolation, they were last in the entire NBA. All jump shots, 29th in the NBA. All runners, 30th in the NBA. Around the basket, 28th in the NBA. Catch and shoots, 28th in the NBA. All jump shots off dribble, 29th in the NBA. So literally all the things that Malik Monk was literally one of the best in the entire league at last year. He was great. He was excellent at these things last year. All those things are things the Pistons were absolutely horrific at this past season. So offensively, he absolutely would fit those needs and definitely would boost some of that, whether it's, I mean, I don't think he would start over Jaden Ivey initially, but if they thought that Jaden Ivey needed some time to like come off the bench or something, he could start opposite of Cade and kind of give that same kind of feeling and veteran leadership and spacing and all that kind of stuff. Not veteran leadership. Let me take that back. He's a little bit younger. But you guys get what I meant. A little bit more experience is what I should say. This would be like his fifth or sixth season, I believe. He'd be a little bit more experienced next to Cade. You'd be able to rock with him for a minute at the beginning of the season. But likely they're going to start Jaden Ivey. And with Malik Monk coming off the bench next to Killian Hayes, offensively, again, I think that fit would be amazing, and he would fill a lot of needs that the Detroit Pistons would need or do need. But defensively is where I really question it, and it's because I've watched Dwayne Casey be the coach of the Detroit Pistons since 2018, okay? Guys can be amazing offensively, but if you're just horrific defensively and you're not good defensively, he just won't play you, and he won't play you many minutes either. Like, maybe he does play you, but you won't get many minutes, and you'll be hooked easily. And Malik Monk is not good defensively at all. And I've told you guys on the podcast, for me, I'm willing to sacrifice defense. Because I've sat here and I've watched the Pistons for almost a decade now do the whole we're going to sacrifice defense for offense thing. And it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Being one of the worst offensive teams in the league and then being middle of the pack defensively, it doesn't do nothing. It doesn't work. It's trash. I hate watching it. It's terrible. I'm willing to sacrifice some offense so they're not bottom 10 in offense no more. I'd be okay being a league average offense while being a bottom 10 defense 1 year. I promise it'll be okay. Just one time. What's the difference? You're going to suck either way. Can we at least have some entertaining basketball this time? Like, I'm sorry. The Pistons giving up 102 points instead of 108 points on their way to scoring 92 that game. if not more fun to watch, to happen to watch them score 102 points and then losing one by giving up 106. Like, I'm either way you're losing, either way the team's not good, except one way is actually more fun to watch. The other way is just agonizing to watch. So I'm really done with the whole we're going to sacrifice offense for defense. But Dwayne Casey, I don't think he's ever going to do that. And with a guy like Malik Monk, why, again, I do think he'd help a lot offensively. I just question if Dwayne Casey would even not even play him. I think he would play him, but I don't think Dwayne Casey would play him for long stretches. I think he'd have a quick hook on him. That's one way to look at it, and that's the way I'm going to look at it. But you could look at it in a more positive way and be like, oh, well, Dwayne Casey would be the coach that will get it out of him. He's a defensive-minded coach, and he'll be able to get Malik Monk to try on defense, and he'll be able to be a rotational player because he'll be a league-average defender. He'll try his butt off over there. But then you realize he played for Frank Vogel last year, who's also a defensive coach, who just coached the Pistons, or the, not the Pistons, the Lakers, to number one ranked defense a year prior, and then had a horrific defensive team this past season. And it turns out that a coach can't just all of a sudden get magic out of his players who suck on defense to play defense. So does Malik Monk fit offensively? Yes. Defensively, I just don't know if he would even get that much of a chance to do what he needed to do offensively to help the Pistons if he was as bad as he is defensively, because I don't think Dwayne Casey would stand for it as much. But I do think he's an interesting option. I would, if I'm the GM, I would pursue Malik Monk, and I would just have to tell Dwayne Casey, listen, this year we're just going to have to sacrifice some offense or sacrifice some defense for some offense. It is what it is, and I'd understand that. But there are some other guys I think probably would fit what Dwayne Casey wants a little bit more, probably like Gary Harris. I think Gary Harris is a guy that Dwayne Casey probably would like to play more. He would probably be like a Dwayne Casey guy, in my opinion. But that's where I stand with that. Would you guys want Malik Monk on the Detroit Pistons? Do you think he's a good fit? Do you think he'd address a lot of the needs that the Pistons have, either as a starting two initially for Jaden Ivey until he gets ready, or right out the gate as a bench player off the bench with Killian Hayes at the off-guard position? Let me know in the comment section down below or on Twitter at Cuca Hill if you're listening to this on the podcast platforms. That's all I've got for you guys today. I'm still really excited. I think I'm going to be excited this entire week all the way leading up to free agency. And then as soon as free agency starts, I might just get rejuvenated again and be even more excited based off what the Pistons may do and the rumors that are saying the Pistons may do. So I think it's about to be a real fun few weeks. And then we got Summer League, man. We're in a stretch right here. Well, I'm going to be just excited for the next probably month or so. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think you guys are going to be having a lot of fun too over the next month. So that's all I've got for you guys today. I'll see you guys in the next podcast. I want to thank you guys for making Lockdown Pistons your first listen of every single day. We're free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Lockdown Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. It's the best way to support the podcast on our way to our new goal of 5,000 subscribers. And until the next one, I'll see you guys later. Troy Weaver, you'll continue to get my credit, man. Great job on draft night. Incredible. Everyone should still be excited over draft night. Don't have too much fun, though. I'll see you guys in the next one. Peace out, everybody, and stay safe.